everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to Ohio Exopolitics. We're getting started a little later today. It's 4:45 p.m. on the 6th of October 2020. I think we're full blast into the fall. The weather's still been good. I've got some sunshine and things aren't too cold out there. You can walk around with long sleeves and be pretty comfortable. I wanted to talk a little bit about the social conditioning that's going on in the world, in the United States. It can be traced all the way back to when they made it illegal, I guess, to drive your car without seatbelts. And not that I don't agree seatbelts are a good idea. I do agree seatbelts are a good idea, but I think we ought to have the freedom to choose that, or the freedom not to choose that. But it seems like our civil liberties are getting eroded all the time. And then the whole thing, shortly after that, was smoking came about. I think this was in the 70s or 80s. And I hate smoking. Terrible, terrible habit. Very unhealthy. But now you can't smoke in restaurants. And I understand the logic behind that. That secondhand smoke is very dangerous. But you know, the restaurant owner ought to be able to make certain decisions about these kinds of things, and people can just choose not to go to certain restaurants. Can't blame them if they have a bunch of smoke everywhere. They've been trying to ban guns for the longest time. It's an effort by the New World Order. It's a slow erosion of our civil liberties, and now there's laws to wear masks in certain places. So it's part of, again, a social conditioning thing. And it always comes in as, you know, we're trying to help people. We're trying to do what's best for people. This is all about bringing in this new world order so they have complete control over us. And when they have complete control over us, it's going to make it much easier to reduce the world's population, which they want to reduce the world's population. The global elite agree with the Meyer teachings that the population should be about 529 million or something to that effect. So, and it's very sad. That's why they're developing driverless cars, because the next thing will be, or one of the next things will be, oh, you can't drive the car yourself. You know, that's just too dangerous. You know, there's been too many pileups, and we just have to do something to help people, to save people. It's all about taking away our rights and freedoms, getting us into these mega cities where we'll be a much easier target to terminate. And that's what they want to do, reduce the world's population. The Meyer information wants to reduce the world's population by decreasing the births. But the global elite, they don't care. They're going to use vaccines as well as part of the soft kill approach to kill people. So I just want to make you aware of that. I know a lot of you are probably have, to a certain degree, succumbed to the social conditioning. So that's why I'm trying to spend a little time, because we're really getting down on the wire here, and it's pretty scary. So maybe the conversation with the coronavirus thing should be about herd immunity. Who has done lockdowns and who has not done lockdowns? Sweden did not lock down. And they have about 200 deaths per million, which is very similar to the United States. But they didn't have to suffer through the economic hardship of the lockdowns. Now, the lockdowns affect more than just the people in the U.S. I mean, I just got an email about a very well-known restaurant in Columbus that had to shut down because of the lockdowns. Shut down for good. They went out of business. And it's messed up our supply chain Big time. Especially for like meat packing and things like that. The shutdown, I've heard from certain sources that the shutdown has killed 2 million in Africa because they depend on us to sell them food kind of overflow. Well, we don't have much overflow of anything because it's affected us as well. So the first coronaviruses were discovered around 1960, and COVID-19 is in the family of these viruses. Around 2014, COVID-19 virus was manufactured in a lab at Chapel Hill, North Carolina. There came a moratorium that was put on the gain of function research, and Dr. Fauci moved the COVID-19 research to Wuhan, China. He used millions of taxpayer dollars to move this research to China. But this guy, who really, from the information I have, is a criminal, is a public figure, is a well-respected public figure. Now, my suspicion is that Trump doesn't know a darn thing about this. Ah, very disturbing. There's a kind of testing called PCR testing. And the creator of the test said that the PCR testing cannot be used to test for COVID-19 unless you have a genomic sequence. You cannot really do PCR testing. All of the testing modalities that are now being used are showing false positives. What that means is it will show, they'll test 100 people, maybe one or two actually have the virus, probably less than one. You'd probably have to test 1,000 to get one or two people to actually have the virus. But with these ridiculous tests, we might show 100 people in 1,000. And that's what they put on the news. Again, to generate the fear and the anxiety, to condition you to wear the masks, to condition you to be afraid and be scared and to, give up your civil liberties. That's all this is about, giving up your civil liberties. So the COVID-19 was outsourced by Dr. Anthony Fauci, and he took taxpayer money to do this. So, what are some of the things that it's important to know about vaccines that will help you legally decline a vaccine? One of the things that they all have this MRC5, this cell strain 5, Medical Research Council cell strain 5, which is human fetal tissue. So, the research got lung tissue out of a 14-week-old Caucasian male fetus originally, I believe in the 1960s. And that lung tissue was infected with some virus, which eventually became the vaccine. So there's another possibility that is called the iatrogenic reaction. It comes from vaccine, which is the multiple compounds of drugs and heavy metals interacting with each other. Nobody knows what that's going to do to everybody. Some people will get Guillain-Barré's disease from a flu shot and be unable to walk for years or months, have neurological damage. Other people get the same flu shot, and it really doesn't affect them. I mean, this is what we're dealing with, insanity, absolute insanity. What does the New World Order want to do? They want to reduce the world's population, and they have a modus operandi for doing that. They'll create a one world government. They want to destroy national identity because they want to get rid of the freedoms that we have in the United States. They want to destroy the middle class, destroy the family, make humanity genderless. and natural sex. People don't believe this, but this is the way it is. Data chip implant. They want to implant us with a data chip, which so they can essentially turn us off when they want to with that data chip. Of course, they want all the wealth and power that's available. They want to mind control the masses, destroy religions, remove all rights and freedoms, you know, from seatbelts up to firearms. It's just some examples. They want to merge us with machines and create a cyborg by doing that. Move people into mega cities, dumb down the public. Boy, this is just so sad. Seeing, it's kind of a trance people are in. They are not able to think because of the social conditioning. They want to restrict travel, and you'll see the driverless cars before too long. They want to remove all privacy, eliminate national borders, end all industrialization. Again, I said reduce the world's population, but instead of restricting birth, they will kill you. Now, it may be a soft kill, where they use a vaccine. But still, the goal is still the same. Think of what's in our water. Fluoride, something called atrazine, which lowers the testosterone level of male frogs such that they have less testosterone than the female frogs. They want to remove national borders, remove all privacy and all industrialization, create a cashless society. And you know how they're talking that cash spreads coronavirus. So we will have bubble cities in our future. And these bioweapons like the coronavirus will be what moves people into the bubble cities. And people in the bubble cities will be blasted by 5G. This is a very dark future. We can stop this if we harness the might of our thoughts. We really have a chance to stop this. We have something called selective perception. And let me go quickly through this. This is Might of Thoughts, page 78. And especially with many psychical disorders, the phenomena of selective perception and selective attentiveness plays quite an especially important role, whereby this perception and attentiveness cannot be equated with purely conscious thinking because everything happens unconsciously. So we sometimes will only listen to what we have decided to listen to, and this is because sometimes of unconscious thinking or highly exaggerated conscious thinking, which will express itself like a sharp clarity in the thoughts, which kind of degenerates to something that's unbearable. So what is this whole selective perception thing? We see what we want to see. We are thinking this way, and when we're seeing this way, when we're doing selective perception, a lot of times we'll exaggerate. We've lost our frame of reference. You may have had an argument with somebody that you're continually thinking about. You can't stop thinking about it. That's selective perception. It might be unconscious. You may even want to stop thinking about it at one point, but you just can't seem to stop. It always comes back up. So the selective perception tends to occur unconsciously. We don't even realize that we're focused on this one thing that's driving us a little crazy. Selective perception tends to be a really narrow view of things. And like that's why I always go back to the New World Order, the big picture of things. Because if you have selective perception, you have a hard time seeing the big picture. So let's say you're reading a very interesting book and someone is in the other room making a periodic, very loud noise that's destroying your concentration. If you take the broad view, you can say to yourself, let's go outside now, take a break. It's what I am doing. If you have selective perception, you might end up yelling at the person that's making all the noise. So taking the broad view of things tends to break us out of selective perception. Very important. If we stay in selective perception, then we will end up in the vicious cycle of uncontrolled thinking, where the thoughts rotate and rotate and repeat, and it just damages our psyche. And selective perception can be unbearable at times. This unconscious selective perception, this where negative thinking is abounding. Quickly, I'll just read a little something about the vicious cycle and then move on. The reason that psychically disturbed human beings of all kinds see black and black and therefore negatively is that their perceptive ability is very limited, whereby the world of thoughts also falls prey to this limitation, and the thoughts can only move in this narrow framework. And this probably has so many applications. I just have to think about it a little while. We want to establish, nurture, strengthen good, healthy thoughts. I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the forger of my own fortune. I am the creator of my own good luck. You want to imagine successful results. Imagine successful results. It's very, very important. He or she actually becomes the Lord and Master of himself and his or her entire life when you start to nurture these healthy thoughts. And the interesting thing is these thoughts that emerge, they can reproduce themselves, which is a very, very, sometimes a very good thing if you're nurturing good, healthy thinking. And this enhances your life power, your Lebenskraft. And Billy has talked about the Lebenskraft in Contact Point 39. He says, then the case is indeed clear. There's something else, however, that you should explain for everyone, for the interest of our cause, namely the connections of certain connections with the age of the earth human being. I already know about these things because Thoth informed me about them when I was a boy. Nevertheless, these things were never written down, so others aren't oriented to them. I'm referring to the fact that mental forces of every single person are capable of raising or lowering the life force of others. So you can raise or lower other people's life force just by your own thoughts. My goodness. So that's probably good to raise your own life force. I don't even know if you should be affecting other people's life force, but it seems to happen. And I'm not even sure that some of it is very unconscious. So because this thinking of a life form through the cooperation of the spirit produces an extremely logical, thus creation-based power that is released as a high-frequency swinging wave, which can influence everything. So your thoughts really can and do influence many, many things. So the more that our development turns towards the truth again, the higher our average lifespan will be, and the stronger our life force is. Right now, our life force is badly impaired and has been over the course of tens of thousands of years, because this conditioning, this tyranny existed way back in Roman times. And that this whole religious thinking that we have, we're not oriented towards the creational natural laws like love and striving and law of harmony and system and order and population and any of these creational natural laws we're not oriented to. So we're destroying ourselves. So as we turn towards the truth, we'll have more and more life power will radiate from us as a tremendous force. And it'll draw people to you just like a magnet. And sometimes that's really good, and sometimes it's not as good. The other important thing that I wanted to just briefly mention is the light vibrations that penetrate deeply into the earth. Even underground plants are very helped by these. And they couldn't even exist without these light vibrations, which go right down into the ground. So, and I think when you're outside, sometimes you can feel these deeply penetrating light vibrations. I'm going to try to go outside more, even in the winter. I didn't spend as much time outside today as I would have liked. I want to briefly just describe this word idea, which is very important. An idea is something that hasn't been completely developed. An ideal, ending with an L, is when your thoughts are completely developed. That's an ideal. But if you have an IDEA, those tend to get tangled and confused, and they go abruptly from one extreme to another, which can cause a misdirection of the thoughts, which triggers emotions. It can lead to murder and manslaughter. So recognize if you're having confused thoughts and triggered emotions, that you're probably in need of a wish dream or a wish ideal, or speaking to your consciousness, speak some of the Meyer information like love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. So our ideas must be thoroughly contemplated and worked through, so that they don't get all tangled up. Another important thing is enthusiasm. So we should be occupied with imagining successful results. Occupy means to fill or preoccupy. Our mind should be preoccupied with successful results. We should be occupied with the pictorial image of success. So replace the old bad thoughts with a visual, imaginary image of success in whatever it is that you're focusing on, work, or your garden, or cleaning up your garage, or helping your cats, or whatever. Imagine success, and this will help lead to enthusiasm. In the position of the old virtuous and unrighteous, wrong, unhealthy, ungood, and negative thoughts, one must place neutral, positive, equalized thoughts which are occupied with imagining successful results. And I just wanted to talk a little bit briefly about some things in Contact Report 250. Some things I don't know that much about. So I'll just read it and I won't comment too much. Billy says, nothing that would be complicated to say, but just go on with your explanations now. Does it actually happen frequently that people with their flying machines come to Earth, come to us from parallel spaces and come to Earth? Ta says, no, that's very rare apart from us and our allies. In contrast, however, it is more common for bioorganic flying objects to appear in this space-time continuum. Now, I have no doubt about that. I have seen these weird, bizarre things. And the extraterrestrials themselves, when they build their ships, they make things bioorganic. Like Semyase's central computer is organic. It's sentient, and it speaks to Semyase telepathically. These are things that we cannot even wrap our mind around. Things that are real, that are literally so disturbing and shocking to religious people who have a certain conditioned mentality where they can't even imagine these kind of things. So we can observe such bioorganisms, as we call them, also on our worlds, whereby we do not know, however, exactly which kind these life forms are now. The dimension changers, as we call them, are larger and smaller airworthy bioorganic life forms, which are often fluorescent or very brightly radiating and located in a parallel space or a parallel universe. And in that way, they're absolutely harmless and even playful. So, the universe is a bizarre and very, very, very strange place. Anyway, I think we'll end it there. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we'll talk to you later.